Welcome, everybody, to the Patty G Show. I am your host, Patty G, here with Shireen and Raina from Powerpump Girls.
Hey.
I am excited to learn more about what y'all do.
Okay.
And also to hear about some interesting stuff y'all have going on right now.
Ooh,
that y'all are kind of prepping for.
Right here, right now.
Right here, right now.
Right here, right now.
I'll let you lead the way.
All right.
So for those that may not be aware, what is Powerpump Girls?
All right. Well, Powerpump Girls is our social impact club, and we essentially connect and mobilize women for issues that matter, for things that require equity, require a voice, require a platform. We bring women together behind the issue and then give them the space to make change.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Very cool. So what are some of the stuff y'all have done thus far? Like, well, first we'll start back to the origin story. Why?
Okay.
Why'd you want to get it started?
So.
And when? Let's get a timeline going.
Ooh, so 2017 is when.
Okay.
Raina and I at the time were corporate event planners here in Baton Rouge.
Yep.
Okay.
And at the time, and not really at the time, just our whole lives, Raina and I have both been very people focused. We love people. It's the center of our lives. And so what we wanted to make sure is that while we were planning these events, that we were actually providing an impact and we were leaving something behind. And while we were doing it, we were like, this just doesn't feel impactful enough. It doesn't feel impactful enough. So then we were like, actually, this is one of our favorite stories. Raina was at Izzo's, and she has on a pair of fuchsia pumps, which we should just start bringing with us
now. I know,
now.
I know.
And we should have, like, placed them on top of the table.
You know, just bring them.
Product placement.
That's exactly. We're all about it. Patty G Show.
Cue the wine glasses.
Yeah. So yeah, she's at Izzo's on a lunch break and she takes a picture of her high heels and she captions on her Snapchat, Power Pump Girl. And I messaged her immediately and I'm like, what's that? And she's like, oh, I don't know. I'm just taking a picture of my shoes, but so many people are asking. I was like, no, that's a thing. And we're about to go file it with the Secretary of State.
Reserving the name.
Yeah, until we figure out what it is.
Name check.
Yep. Saved. Boom. No one had it. So we did that and we didn't do anything with it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Raina and I are hanging out, and something naturally kind of occurred. A lot of our friends were coming to us asking, you know, how did you start your event planning company? What advice do you have if I want to start my own business? And we kind of became like the go-to to help people get started.
Mm-hmm.
And what we realized was we were like creating a community of women that like were gravitating towards us and then towards each other, and things just started happening from that. So then we're like, okay, we're gonna attach that name to it.
Yeah,
we saved it. And so our first thing was a brunch. We thought it would just be our friends, and it ended up being like 50 women. And we used our event planning skills to put the brunch on.
You know.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of how we got started.
So what you're saying is your event planning skills are effective.
They're still
They're still effective.
They're still effective. Yeah.
Yes.
And so that's the beauty of it. We love to bring people together around events and around celebration. But then for us, it's like, okay, but what's the extra piece? Where's the more?
Right.
So it was always just the two of us love people. We love connecting people. And we love finding that thing. Like, what's your thing? What drives you? What's your passion project?
Yeah.
And how can we pull that out? But then there's always just more for us. It's not just a brunch. It's not just a workshop.
Yeah.
There's always more.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not let's come to brunch, listen to us talk for 30 minutes, and we'll motivate you to do everything you can possibly want to do.
No.
And then like, hey, part two, let's grab a coffee and let's actually flush something out.
Yeah. It's hey, we know this person and they have something that could take you to the next level. And so Raina and I have been fortunate enough to build up a network from college to where we are now. And I mean, so much so that one of our friends is a microbiologist. We never in a million years would have thought that we knew someone that could help her business. And now she's in 6 Whole Foods and about to be in 40. And it just comes from being able to connect people. And that's our real gift.
And that, in all honesty, like in Baton Rouge, people need that, especially when starting out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because like Baton Rouge can have its own kind of silos where if you don't know a certain individual or a certain group, you may not be able to get and connect with those people.
Yeah.
But once you're in, they're like, all right, what can we do to help?
Yeah.
How can we help?
Yeah.
You need this, you need that, you know, what can we do? And that's amazing that y'all are kind of creating that in a way.
Someone did it for us. Courtney Scott, she's now the right hand to our mayor here in Baton Rouge. And she did that for me when I first got here for college. And I never forgot the impact that it made on my life. And my mom was that person, Raina is that person. And so it just, it kind of clicked one day. And we're like, oh, we're actually those people too. So,
I love that. So, Sharon, what is Shireen?
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's okay.
I knew you were going to correct me.
I won't murder him on camera.
All right, we're going to keep the cameras rolling after.
We have a witness.
So, Shireen, what is your backstory?
Oh, wow. In what sense?
What kind of a kid were you?
Ooh, oh, wow.
You sure you want to go there?
We go there?
Yeah, no, it's fine. I was super outgoing, so I'm biracial. Mm-hmm. I come from a background, my mom is black, my father is Arab, and so I have a very different view on the world and people in general, which is why I gravitate towards people. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I was the only child my entire life until about 22, and I had a sister that found me on Twitter. Long story, we'll do this on another podcast.
Like for part two?
Yeah, for part two. And then now I have 3 new siblings, but as a child, I was the only child. I was a super tomboy. I played outside. I played video games. I was a nerd. I didn't read a lot, but I was very interested in everything. Mm-hmm. And my parents pushed mm-hmm. me to just try everything. And mm-hmm. so I think that's a true reflection of who I am today, too.
Oh, 100%. Having that driving force of your parents, like, hey, do whatever you want. They're not trying to push you into this box, really just shapes you as a kid growing up. And then to one day you get out there and you're like, oh, yeah, take a picture of some pumps and let's make something out of it, you know?
That's literally how it happens. Raina gets to reap that. So, yeah, that's another story.
We'll get there. 3 hours, right?
Yeah, 3 hours.
That's what we got you for.
We're all night.
We have time. We have nothing but time. So, yeah, I think that is really who I am to, like, my core. And because I was the only child, a lot of only children like to be to themselves. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a little bit different in the fact that I do enjoy my by myself time. Like, I need it. But, like, I really enjoyed going to my cousin's house for the weekend or hanging out with my friends when I got to school. I always, 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 my worst grade was in conduct. I talked too much. and now I use my voice for a living. So
here we are on a podcast. Oh, back at you.
Hey, Ms. Carter.
Someone actually just told us.
That was my teacher. She told me.
We were on our way to the fishing trip, and it's, 4 in the morning, and we're in the back seat, like, talking like we didn't see each other the day before, and the guy who's driving was like, they're going to do this all day. Like, they act like they don't talk all the time. We're just like, no, at 4 in the morning.
Like, no coffee yet.
No, you kept him awake. Coffee. You did a good thing for him. You made sure he didn't fall asleep at the wheel.
We bring the fun, okay?
That's what we do. But, yeah, I think that's it in a nutshell.
I love that. Okay. Yeah. So, Raina,
on the contrary.
Hot seat.
I think that's the beautiful thing of me and Shireen. We're very much alike. So when we first met, we were like, this is creepy. Like, we're the same person. But as we got to know each other, there's a lot of balances that just work really well. So I am the oldest of 3. I'm from Lafayette, Louisiana. So I grew up very, like, responsible and, like, kind of play by the rules. But at the same time, very curious about everything. I was willing to try things and kind of just put myself out there, learn about stuff. But I was very, like, calculated risk. And so fast forward to now, Shireen's like, let's make a business. I'm like, hold on.
Her literal first question was, well, what kind? I was like, I don't know.
The first company.
Wait, let's take 100 steps backwards.
I'm like, sounds great. Mm-hmm. First. And we just had this conversation with someone. They're like, she's the go-getter. And you're like, wait, let's figure it out. And I'm like, yeah, that's it.
It's a good balance.
You need that balance in any business. You need somebody.
One pushes us, one keeps us. And then, like, we just do this the whole time.
That's it. Because if y'all were both pushers, that would...
Oh, we'd be too much for that. We kind of already are.
We'd probably be on the news.
So, I grew up, I was really smart. I feel like I was always, like, wanting to absorb information and willing to take the risk and be at the forefront of things. And then in college, I was just, like, in my element. I loved people. I was a tour guide on campus. Like, I loved talking and, like, sharing information and bringing people together. So I really found my niche in college with, like, connectivity. And by the time I met Shireen, I knew I didn't want to keep going to school. I was like, I want to start doing something. Like, I'm ready to just be out in the world and making a difference. And so it was just perfect time when we met and started what we did. So, yeah. Yin and yang.
I love this. Y'all both been in college.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And we both studied the same thing. We both went to LSU, studied kinesiology pre-med. And
okay.
That's why when we started this conversation, I was like, I love to see people who study something completely different, but their passion takes over.
Right.
Because, you know, tradition and in this country in general, it's like you go to school, you get a job,
yes,
and that's what you do. Whereas we're like, okay, we'll do that, but then something keeps like tugging at you, and it's like, but there's something else. Like there's something that I'm really good at that doesn't require a book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just requires me, my essence, and who I am. And then anytime like I'm somewhere, like I get fed off of it. And so that's why we made that comment to you, because it's true, that's us. Like we still have like a fascination with medical anomalies. We still send each other pictures of dead bodies and like all kinds of
injuries and like weird.
So don't have somebody go through your phone without proper context.
No, right. No, seriously. It's bad. It's bad. People think we're really weird.
Yeah, so that's like our textbook brain. Like we love stuff like that, or just like science in general and how like things work. We love that type of thing, but then like day to day, we're creatives in a way.
Yeah.
So I'm like the copywriting, like storytelling person in Shireen's design and like visuals.
Aesthetics, yeah.
We're like, who'd have thought when we were back at LSU studying physics and anatomy that we'd be here.
Here we are.
But
yeah, see, I never went any of the medical route. I knew from the get-go, I am not medical. Like, you point to any part, like, what is this? I don't know.
Yeah, no, my brother is phenomenal at that.
And, like, I think if anything, we learned in college by taking on that major and studying that, that we could accomplish difficult things. Like, we were able to start and finish something that's hard.
Yeah.
But something else was just pulling on us more to actually live out.
And I feel like that's a lot of young entrepreneurs, and especially in college, they feel that tug, they feel that pull, but some of them may not even have that push to say, hey, go out there and get it. And then you had Shireen, and she was like, yes, let's
we're
rock
doing
and roll.
It. I think that's so important. So when I think about the balance of like my parents and who they are, so my dad is a chiropractor, and he is what I would call he's a student. He's a serial student. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you how many degrees he has. He came here for the American dream. He got it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's textbook all day, all day, all day, which is also why I'm interested in medicine and the body. But my mom was this wild fun. She came into the room and everything stopped because they're like, oh, she's here.
Right.
And so she was very fearless, where my dad was like, no, I need to study. She's like, F studying. We won't get this night back. And so that's the true balance like that my parents provided me. And I think that's like, I think that's it.
Yeah.
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 So did you have any type of that balance, that back and forth energy?
If anything, my mom is like the fierce, like feisty one, and then my dad's just like, nah, nothing bothers me.
He's
so
chill.
Depending on the situation, I'm a good balance of them. I'm mostly chill, but if the situation calls for it, glow comes out.
I light it. I'm like, Raina, get angry. Stop being so relaxed.
But on the same token, my dad is, and your dad too, they're so people-centric. Like, we did not steal that. They will do anything for other people. They go out of their way, and like everything they do at their core is rooted in giving and being of service to others. So we definitely got that from them.
Which, so you guys can't see, but our gentleman here that is recording,
Carl
grew up on a farm, and a lot of the principles that Raina and I base our life off of is seed and harvest. And we really believe that the things that you sow, you can reap a harvest from it. And so that just kind of goes back to the whole people thing, right? Like, we are givers at our core. Like, when I walk into a room, my first question isn't, what can you do for me?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what can I do to help you get to your next step? And that has, I swear to you, it has put us in rooms and spaces. And Raina and I look at each other and we're like, how did we get in here? Who invited us here?
You look around and you're like, wait a second, this is not familiar.
Yeah, it's like, how did I get here? And we truthfully, like, it's just from giving and being. So,
I love that. I mean, the more you give, the more people are going to see that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll accept it, and then they'll also give back tenfold.
Yep.
And that's where the real power of networking, entrepreneurship, and just the growth of a community comes together.
Yep.
It's whenever everybody starts helping everybody.
It's beautiful.
Oh,
make
it
work like that.
It's getting there.
So moving back to, what are we here for? Power Pump Girls?
Yeah.
So what do y'all have going on right now?
So we kind of left you hanging on the origin story. So left with the brunch. But then from there, we were like, how can we kind of cultivate this community? So we started hosting workshops and events that really were tactical in nature and giving these women the tools that they needed to take on these dreams and these goals they had. And then from there, they're like, okay, we want more. We want to be involved. And we're like, what do you mean? You're involved.
Be involved with what?
We're like, you come to the event.
We're here to help you.
Yeah. And they're like, no, we want to do more. We want to have an impact on our community. So on a trip to New York, we had this aha moment and this reckoning of privilege. And so a lot of times privilege is talked about in the context of race or even wealth, but we came to the realization that everyone has some form of privilege. And so we came back to Baton Rouge from this trip and we're like, okay, how can we use our privilege for good and to help others who may not have it? And so the thing that came out of that was our initiative called Secured. So it was our first in-house impact initiative, our first give back thing we did. And essentially we provided products, education, and advocacy for women in need surrounding menstruation. So period care products, which is something that we took for granted and it's kind of an inconvenience for most women, but period poverty is a real thing. And so launched that initiative, and with great excitement, our group was like, yes, we're behind it. We want to do it. So once that launched, we kind of started recognizing Power Pump Girls as this impact hub where we can identify a need, present it to our community, and find ways to solve it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been where we are now, and then we're leading into a very big, exciting moment in 2 weeks.
So have you ever read those books where it's like,
no,
right?
He doesn't
this
read
like from the book fair. Okay.
Still
it's
back.
No. No. It's like, okay,
no.
Right. Right.
We were like, in the book fair, like,
oh my God, I gotta get a new one. So it's like, go to page 67 if you want this to happen. Go to page 93 if you want this to happen.
I've heard of those books. Yeah. I hear they've got great storylines.
Classic. You can create your own ending.
Right.
And so Raina and I didn't build Power Pump Girls for us. Mm-hmm. We built it for the women in our community. And so, like she said, it started out one way, and then they were like, yeah, that's cool, but we actually want this. So then we did something different. Mm-hmm. And still to this day, we ask our community, what do you want to see more of? And we implement it. Mm-hmm. It's like we help. They help us pick the merchandise that they get to buy. They help us pick the next topic of conversations we talk about, the next event types that we plan. It's literally, it's like for them, by them. And we just happen to be the face.
Yeah.
And so right now they want more again.
And we're who'd like, have thunk?
Who would have thought? You just keep asking for more. But no. So now we are about to launch our first crowdfunding campaign.
Okay.
So there are some real hard truths that come with being Black female founders.
Yep.
And one of the hard truths is that Black female founders get less than 1% of the funding for capital in businesses. Well, hello, this is us, our humanness.
Times two.
Yeah, and we're like, we need money, you know, and we go for grants and private donors, and none of those things were working for us because we were up against so many odds. So we asked ourselves, we were like, okay, so we've been open for 3 years. Mm-hmm. It's not full time, but how have we been able to manage for 3 years? And we looked at ourselves and we're like, it's our community. They buy the merch, they make the donations, they come to the events. The only reason our doors are open is because we take some of our paycheck and we put it into this business. Mm-hmm. And they're taking some of their paycheck and they're putting it into this business. And so where we are now is we're launching this crowdfunding campaign, and we are super excited because it's our first time asking for like a large lump sum like this. Mm-hmm. And essentially it's gonna help us with our operations and help Raina and I scale these initiatives that we're building out. And so our focuses are still gonna be around women's rights. It's around education, it's around race equity. And then we just built out a fourth one for civic engagement.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So getting people to come vote,
right.
Educating people on what's kind of happening. And so we have a process, and I'll let you kind of share
yeah.
this process because I feel like I'm talking so much.
So just in a lot of it is what we do is like jump and leap and figure it out backwards. Like boom. We reverse engineer it.
That's like definition of entrepreneur. Jump yeah. off the deep end and then realize we don't have floaties. Right. Now we got to swim.
Yeah. Let's figure out how to float or swim.
How do we do this?
So our process is REM, like when you're in deep sleep, which is really ironic when we figured that out.
Yeah.
when you're actually in the REM state of sleep, you have the most movement and vision and action happening, but mm-hmm. you're in a deep dream state, right?
Right.
So we're professional dreamers. and our REM process is rally, educate, mobilize. So first, we get you excited about this issue, or at least bring awareness to it. If you don't know it was a thing, a lot of times mm-hmm. when we talk about secured and our period poverty initiative, people are like, I didn't know that was a thing. I had no idea. So we first bring it to your attention and tell you about it. Then we educate you with statistics, resources, experts, and then mobilize. Okay, here's the next steps on how to affect this change, how to see the difference. So we're now implementing that. We started with secured, and now we have these other initiatives that we're backing. So the crowdfunding campaign will help us to scale that impact. Because so far, most of our efforts have been in Baton Rouge, Lafayette, Shreveport, mm-hmm. some of New Orleans. But there's been a tug and a pull to scale it beyond that, beyond Louisiana. And so in order to do that, we need capital. Money. So
yeah, I've realized everything takes some money.
Gosh, you would think so that it's like useful or something.
It's like what everybody, it's like a bartering device.
Something like
that. We have
learned how to barter in our life. Yeah.
And as a bootstrapper in entrepreneurship, growing a business, whatever it is, you have to barter.
Yes.
And you've got to figure out, okay, what does that person have that I can give them?
Yep.
Because you already know what they have. That you need. That's the easy part.
Exactly.
Easy part is find the, okay, you can do this. All right, I need you. It's more of that, how can I respond to them mm-hmm. and give them something first?
Yes.
So then when I go in for that ask, they're like, oh, yeah, no problem.
Sure. And the truth is business 101 mm-hmm. and you have to be okay with that. We like to drop little tips to some of our friends who otherwise would be like afraid. One, we have friends who are afraid to put themselves out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's a big jump, right? Well, it's vulnerable.
It's vulnerability. It's the risk of having someone tell you no.
Yes.
Yeah.
And having someone, not even just saying, oh, hey, will you like you buy this chocolate bar? No. It's, hey, will you look into this thing I've poured my heart, my soul, my tears, my sleepless nights into.
I don't really want your feedback, but.
Yeah, I don't want your feedback. I love what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Will you take a chance to look at it and maybe help me in some form or fashion?
Yeah.
And then telling them having them tell you no after
all of
that.
Yeah, we have a story. Okay, we won't use names, but like we have a real
person
story.
One,
person one. We're persons one and two.
Okay.
And we're asking a private donor for a donation. And Raina and I, we always have these pep talks in the car before we get somewhere. And we're like, all right, how you feel? Good? Cool. What if they say this? I don't know. Don't think like that. And so like we're having like these little moments. And this specific meeting, we were just like amped. Like you couldn't tell us that we were not walking out of here without a check. Right?
Yeah.
And we walk in so confidently. We go into this place. Almost put that away. We go into this place and we sit down for lunch. And Raina and I are like, cool, this is what we're here for. This is what we're doing. This is why it matters. This is what we're asking for. And she's like, I don't understand it. And we're like, we start like welling up.
We're out of stuff to say. So.
What do you mean? You don't understand it.
I don't have any more adjectives to describe this.
That's it.
This is what I have. And so I kid you not, this goes back to, you know, just being yourself and vulnerable and open. We're sitting down and there's a girl who is having lunch a few tables away from us. And she like is looking, and the whole time I'm like, stop looking at me. This woman just said no.
We're about to cry.
Stop it. Yeah. Stop it. And we're like about to cry. And I'm thinking like she can kind of feel that, and she's like trying to see if I'm okay. But then she kind of smiles. So I smile fakely because I'm like, I'm sad. So she gets up, she comes over to the table, and she goes, Power Pump Girls, right? And we looked at each other, and we're like, yeah.
And not our best moment.
Yeah.
Maybe not after this meeting.
Yeah, we might be Power Flat Girls. Like, I don't know. So the person we're having lunch with goes, you explain what Power Pump Girls is to you. And she just starts like saying things in words that we didn't have. And we start crying because we're like, oh my God, that's what that means to you. And then sure enough, she's like, I get it. And she writes us the check.
Yeah. It was crazy. We were like, we swear we didn't pay her. Like, she came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. It was really divine.
It was perfect.
And it wouldn't have happened without her. It's like the importance of building community and being your brand online and offline.
And then sowing those seeds of we're everyone's biggest cheerleader. And so yeah. we would do something like that in a heartbeat. And so to have it done back, we were like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. But it made sense because that's who we are as people.
Yeah. We made her a board member, by the way.
yeah.
hey, like, you on the board. Yeah, why? Yeah. Because.
You just, get it. Just say yes, please. we need a board.
Yeah, so we ended up falling in love with her and yeah. just having coffee and getting to know her story. And yeah, she became a board member. But in that moment, we were like, okay, this lives beyond us. Like, it's doing exactly what we wanted it to. We don't always have to have the answers because it'll speak for itself. So yeah. that was probably one of our most memorable moments.
It was an emotional day. You're
going to
cry?
No.
Okay. she does that sometimes.
Hey, it's all good. It's all good. It's a welcoming space.
Yeah, it's a safe space.
That's right. It's a safe space. Gosh. And I know that a lot of entrepreneurs or people just wanting to take that leap of faith, they're scared of that exact moment y'all mm-hmm. went through. They're freaked out of the time that's like, okay, now I have to go ask somebody for money.
Yeah.
You know, before I was doing all this stuff, it was just whatever. I was funneling it through my own paycheck and it was great. Mm-hmm. But now it's okay. Now I need more to make more of an impact. Mm-hmm. And you never know, am I actually affecting anybody? Am I actually making that impact? And then to have somebody out of the blue mm-hmm. be like, oh yeah, y'all are rocking it. I love what y'all are doing. Yeah. Here's what I get that y'all are doing.
Yeah.
And then for y'all to be like, that's spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
You can't make that up.
yeah.
It's good.
She will forever be remembered in our life.
But that fueled us to just be more fearless in that because we're still friends with that donor and we still have a connection. But like that was a moment, like that was a very vulnerable, very scary moment. It was risky and it almost didn't work had it not been for this little angel across the way. so after overcoming that, you're like, okay, we can do anything.
The
like,
worst just, thing you can say is no.
And that, I go into every situation with that.
Yeah.
Is, all right, what am I going to do in this situation? What's the outcome? What's the worst outcome? All right, this person says no. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Great. So what?
Yeah. Yeah. And we so got what? So many no's. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You get, I started a seafood distribution company a lifetime ago, mm-hmm. and it was just no.
Yeah.
For like, ever, and then you get that one yes.
Mm-hmm. It takes that one yes,
but I feel a lot of people sometimes will give up before they get to that one yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They get to that 100th no, that 1,000th no, that 1,000,000th no.
Yeah.
And they don't know that the next one could be that yes.
That second win that you need, and mm-hmm. truth be told, Raina and I had one of those moments. The amazing thing about having a business partner is when one gets tired and exhausted, the other one still has energy to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to do that with each other. Like if Raina sees that, like I'm having a few days where I'm just like, I'm not really into it. She's going harder and I'll see that. And I'm like, okay, I need to get myself together and I need to do it as well. But there was like a really dead zone moment a few months ago. Maybe like 6 months ago, Raina and I had kind of hit like a space where we didn't have much traction. We weren't doing many things and we just felt like we weren't progressing. And then something happened. I'm still not sure what happened, but we got our second wind and it was like, okay. And then one thing after the next, after the next, after the next, we started to like regain our energy. Mm. And I would say like right now where we are, this is probably the most excited. Like it feels like we just started a business.
Mm-hmm.
We got that level of excitement back. Because again, it's like you go times without money when you're an entrepreneur, and people don't understand that. It's like being in college all over again.
You skip meals here and there.
Oh my gosh. Do you?
Like, what'd you have to eat today? What's today?
Right.
right.
Right. Or it's like, hey, you cooking dinner tonight? And like, you go over to a friend's house, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so, but we're just in such a good space right now. But it definitely, business ebbs and flows, mm-hmm. even for the best of them.
100%.
And I think people don't get that.
No, people, they see the successes.
Mm-hmm.
They see the rocket ships. They see the unicorns that just blow up overnight.
Overnight.
Yeah, overnight. That's the overnight is such so many different terms.
Yeah. Gosh,
what is overnight? 10 years of blood, sweat, and tears.
I wish
that's what overnight is.
Yeah, I was like, I wish I could go to sleep and wake up. And ding. Microwave.
Then more people would do it.
Yeah,
and more people would do it. Yep. And that's a lot of people, it almost kind of gets a bad rep because people are like, oh, well, what are you doing in sales? Or what are you doing in donor? How much money have you raised?
Yeah.
And then when you're like, the $20 I pulled out of my paycheck this week, everybody's like, oh, all right, Talk to me when you have more.
Exactly. It's
like, no, you don't understand. You could be that next person
yeah.
that could make it $40, and what I could do with the $40
exactly.
just goes on and on. And people think, oh, you got to have that million. You got to have that 2 million, that 10, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You got to have X in order to achieve Y.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. As well, that's one way of doing it.
Yeah. yeah.
The other way is the ramen noodle and water.
Oh, we've been there in college.
Yeah. One of our favorite podcasts to listen to is actually How I Built This.
Love it.
And it's all these household names that you know of brands or entrepreneurs. But the common thread with all of them is that it was not easy. Like, not one of them had
yeah.
a cookie cutter path to success.
Yeah.
And each story is a different level of success. Not all of it is monetary. And so that's what we love hearing, how they pivoted. And a lot of times we're like, we had that exact same problem. Like, that's good to know, Sarah
yeah.
Blakely, that you had that same moment. And so it's reassuring for us and encouraging to listen to these entrepreneurs or these people that we aspire to be like and have impact at the level that they do, that they also had this rigid yeah. path. It wasn't just clear cut and easy, and they got a ton of no's in their
yeah.
their journey.
Yeah,
it's you get a ton of no's, and you also, is equally important to know when to say no.
Yeah, we're still learning.
I will say yes to just about anything.
Yeah.
And it's not till later you realize you're 2 weeks into this project and you're like, wait a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I convinced myself I would do that. Great.
Yeah. Yep. Like you're in there, you're like, wait, where is the person that got me here?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Like, they,
they're on to the next person.
They left.
Signing them up to Primerica.
And full circle.
Just saying. Put me on your stand-up comedy.
Oh my gosh.
Laura Hsu, we're next in line for your stand-up comedy event.
Yeah.
I want a Netflix special.
Yes.
Special.
Laura's comedy.
I'm shooting for the stars.
Yeah. Dreamer. Professional.
Hey, start on the pod. Just know you. Patty G Show.
I'll give you
Patty
a shout
G
out.
Show.
Patty G.
All right. So, what? I'm curious to know the answer to this question both of y'all. What do you define as success?
Ooh. Deep breath out.
I think it'll be similar for both of us.
It always
I have not gathered that this entire episode.
No, what? I think success is when you can build something that can live beyond you and have an impact greater than you could ever have imagined. For some people, that's monetary, but I think legacy is success. I think having made a difference in someone's life, I'm going to quote the legendary Beyonce.
Yes.
But she has a song that says, I want to leave a footprint on someone's life and know that somewhere in the world.
Do her justice. Come on.
Anyway, it says something to the effect of, like, if I made
lyrics.
A difference in one person's life, you can. I know that I've, like, left my mark on the world. And for Beyonce to say that, I mean, I think that's a good level of success. So,
yeah.
But that's genuine. It's true. I do think, like, we're just having this moment this weekend. Like, we celebrate little things, like small wins. We're like, yes.
The car started this morning.
Yeah. We're like, oh my God, that was so exciting. Like, let's document it. But we really love those. We cherish those special moments. And so I think if we can have an impact on one person's life, if we can have changed one thing for the better, that's success in my eyes. So in that description, I think we are successful. But I know we have many successes to come.
Yes,
so.
I agree with everything. And then I would add to it, it's not leaving anything on the table. I don't really think it matters what, like, the outcome is. But if you leave something on the table, you won't know either way. And so I kind of get this success idealism from my mom, who was a really big dreamer. She always left things kind of like on the table. Mm-hmm. It kind of like scared her a little bit. And so
right.
I would watch that and I'd be like, okay, I'm going to carry it from beginning to end. And so success for me is like seeing something that I desire or something that's been like placed on my heart and then like chasing it and then not leaving anything on
executing.
The table. Executing and just saying, you know what? I did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be able to tell my children, my grandchildren. I want them to be able to tell their children. Goes back to the legacy thing. It's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is who we are as like a family. You know, we're dreamers, but we're also doers.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we're going to try it, whether it fails or succeeds. So.
100%. You don't get remembered for your ideas.
No.
You get remembered for the actions that
yep.
you did.
Everyone
yep.
has good ideas.
Yep.
everyone has good ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Not everyone does anything with them.
Those that act on their good ideas are those that make an impact in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think Wayne Gretzky said 100%, you miss 100% of the shots you never take.
Yeah. Oh, sure that wasn't Jay-Z?
We be shooting them.
Jay-Z, Beyonce, y'all, but no one caught it. It's all good.
You tried.
It's all good. The jokes didn't land.
We'll back play.
Yeah, it's going to come back later, and you guys are going to be proud of me.
We'll clip it, and that's what we'll use.
Thanks.
Okay. So from that success, I want to go to kind of the not as bright side. Was there ever a point in y'all's time doing Power Pump Girls thus far?
Mm-hmm.
She knows where this question's going.
Yesterday.
She knows where this question's going.
I don't know. We probably have the same answer, but keep going.
Was there ever a point thus far that you just wanted to throw in the towel?
You want to kind of do 1, 2, 3 and say it at the same time? One word. You ready?
One. I don't know the word.
Oh, God. Okay. There was one event.
Oh, but that wasn't Power Pump Girls.
Yeah.
Huh?
It was. Strike.
Oh.
We weren't on the same page this time.
Sorry. But I was thinking of the event that we did that was... Okay.
Yeah, so there was this...
Wait, we can talk...
No.
What's this event? What's this event?
We're out.
Hold on the question. The event. Right, you sparked my curiosity. Can we talk about the event?
Spark notes before we get to that one. Sorry. When we had our corporate event planning company, we had this client. It was a big fundraiser. So great. Everything that could go wrong went wrong that night, and everyone
literally
was looking at us.
Naturally. Yeah. Naturally. A big event, the stakes are high.
The stakes were so high.
Everything's going to go wrong.
Let me just say, not only were the stakes high, it was a fundraiser for like a charity, and their driver to get funds raised that night was this beautiful, tear-jerking, emotional video that had no sound. And then it was glitching.
Wait, what?
And then it was like doing all these things, and the couple that's featured in the video is in the audience, like, offended. It was horrible. Like, everything.
I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing because our emotions that day were,
I wanted to just be, like, done.
It'd be like that Animal Shelter movie. It's like, in the arms of the it'd be like, in the...
And then the audio guy starting over from the beginning. I'm like, what are you doing? Everything that could go wrong went wrong. So that was one instance.
But
with Power Pump Girls...
Yeah.
It was also an event.
Yes. So with Power Pump Girls, like one of those moments that we kind of, actually this was like one of those moments where we paused after for, we hard paused for a long time. Ryan and I travel a lot. And when we travel, we like to find conferences for women. And so we've done the Yellow Conference, Create, Cultivate, Girl Boss Rally. And so we go to these events and we go as like, one, a women's empowerment organization, mm-hmm. but two, as event planners, we're looking at your production level. We're mm-hmm. looking at how your logistics are tying in. And so anyways.
Do you like purposely make a glitch in the system and see how they handle it? No. Do you go that
no.
far?
No.
But we keep our eyes peeled for like.
How they handle the situation.
Like emergencies happening. We're like, oh, you saw that girl running? She's going to handle that thing. Over
yeah.
there. Like we see that stuff.
Yeah. And we take notes because like it's what we do. And so we wanted to bring a huge conference to Baton Rouge. First of all, we struggled between Baton Rouge and New Orleans for the longest.
Baton Rouge.
Yeah, we settled on Baton Rouge. Raina's vote was Baton Rouge. My vote was New Orleans.
Don't say you settled.
Oh, we did. Oh, I love Baton Rouge, but...
I'm just giving you a hard time.
You know. Anywho.
So we're planning this event. We were bringing in speakers from all over the country, speakers we had met in L.A., people we had met in New York, local people. And we were putting this thing together. It was turning into such a masterpiece. We found the most beautiful venue, and things were coming. It was like coming closer to the day. It was probably...
It was like 2 months out.
2 months out, and we were still doing good. It was like 30 days when we got notice of the venue backing out.
Why does a venue back out?
That's another conversation for another day.
It's off camera.
Yeah, it's an off-camera conversation.
Yeah.
And now tune in for your intermission.
But yes, and so leading up into this, Raina and I had had press, 225, Business Report, and Register. We had had billboards. We
ticket
had podcasts.
You had an event.
We had an event.
Podcast
interviews.
It was planned.
It was ready to happen.
It was happening.
It was ready. Like, everyone was excited about it. And then, boom, our venue backs out. So we are scrambling. We are looking for venues all across Baton Rouge. Like, Who can
30 days out?
Yeah, 30 days out. It's also wedding season.
Wedding season.
Yeah.
We built the event to fit that space. Mm-hmm. So to find something else similar,
we would have to restructure everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, but you had 30 days.
30 days. Yeah, 30 days. We can do a lot of things.
In the event world, that's nothing.
Yeah, we can do a lot of things. That was one that took us.
So yeah, that hurt our ego a lot because we were really at that point, like, we were climbing and like we were getting this recognition and Power Pump Girls was it, right? Mm-hmm. Like this was going to be the hot thing. And then we had to face everyone that bought tickets, everyone that sponsored, everyone that agreed to fly in from across the country and come and speak in Baton Rouge. That wasn't happening. And so that hurt really bad.
We were, like, crying. Typing up emails to sponsors, giving them money back.
Yeah.
Emails to...
It's brutal.
Oh, man. Talk about heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking. And we, like, text each other and we're like, okay, we just need to pause. And, like, it's okay to hurt. It's okay to be sad about it. Vulnerable moment, safe space. We were... Our egos were highly bruised.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a tough shake back because everyone's questions were, hey, what happened to Strike? Mm-hmm. Hey, when are you guys planning Strike? When is it going to happen again? And we were like, oh, my God.
Yeah, like, chill out. We're still healing from it. But yeah. I think it, looking back in retrospect, they just saw it as Shireen and Raina can do anything. So they'll figure it out. Like, they'll make it work.
Yeah.
And that's reassuring now. But in the moment, that was, like, our lowest moment. Yeah. Because we disappointed so many people, but we disappointed ourselves.
Yeah.
And we don't like not completing and executing things. And so it didn't feel good. So we took a very long pause. But then after that was another moment of like finding our stride and getting that energy back. And then now I feel like we're in our third leg of that.
I think that's like right after we had stopped taking our pause. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's like we got the board after mm-hmm. Strike. So that gave us some oomph because we were like, oh, wow, like we're formalizing it. You know, mm-hmm. we have a board. We found people who believed in what we did, who were willing to volunteer their time and their skill set. And so then we kind of got reinvigorated and excited. And we video, like she said, we get excited about everything. We did like a video on our first board meeting, like driving there. We're like, hey, y'all, it's Shireen. And it's 7 a.m. and we're on our way to our first
board meeting.
And it was hilarious. And now we look back on it and we're like, oh, shit, we got to do board
meetings. We got to prep for our board meeting,
which is exactly what we have to do tomorrow.
Wait, we have a board meeting tonight?
Yeah.
Wait, an hour?
Yeah. Game changer, though.
Yeah.
Okay. So from that, what are some of the lessons, two lessons that you'll have learned along the way from each of you? So we'll get four lessons out of this.
Oh, wow.
Cool. Man.
It's like I get paid for that.
Yeah.
Carl's dying over there.
Lesson one. It is okay to fail publicly.
Thank you.
Publicly.
Thank you.
Yeah. It is. And people say that until that shit actually happens.
Yeah,
you know, like
it's
easy.
Not okay to fail.
Yeah, it's like super cliche, right? It's like, it's okay to fail. Oh, everyone fails.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, the real, like, that was a true lesson for us. It was like, it is okay to fail publicly. It's what we do after. And I think the second lesson is it's okay to pause.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to stop, but it is okay to pause. I think that pause did a lot for us. We were able to really like reflect on what had happened, things we could have done better, things that we couldn't change that we had to forgive others for, and things that we did that we had to forgive ourselves for. And so, yeah, it's definitely okay to fail publicly. Don't, yeah. And then pause.
That.
Yeah.
I love that. Fail and pause and know when the right time is to do both.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
They might come really close together, like, but
hit us with it, Rain.
But so you kind of touched on one of mine was like forgiveness and forgiving yourself. Like you can't hold on and harbor that disappointment in yourself. You can't hang or in each other. Like you're going to find things with other people that disappoint you and upset you, but finding forgiveness in that moment, because then you can grow and move on from it. I had my second one. Oh, well, don't let that harbor you from still dreaming big. So Strike didn't happen in the way we saw it, but now Power Pump Girls is in a space we never thought then.
Mm-hmm.
Power Pump Girls has an impact and a voice in this community and elsewhere that we never thought could have happened. And I don't think it would have had that conference went on to happen, we would have been in a different space. So things happen for a reason, and don't allow those failures to hinder you from still dreaming big and still shooting for the stars.
Because the truth is that, like, we're on our next big public.
We're not gonna fail this time.
You know what I mean?
Look, if you lose your location, let me know. I'll fix. I've got some locations we can
you
make it work
at.
Yeah.
You know, so like, and it's we're super vulnerable even in talking about this journey of crowdfunding and how terrified we are. You know, it's.
They don't teach it in school.
They don't.
No.
They don't.
No.
And one thing they also don't teach you is being afraid is okay. And so, like, you know, we've always from beginning have been transparent with our community on the things that we don't know. Just as much as we parade around the things that we do know, we share openly what we don't know. We don't know how to crowdfund. We've never crowdfunded before. Are we terrified? Hell yes. Are we still going to do it? Yes.
Hell yes.
Yeah, you have to do it because, again, don't leave anything on the table, you know? And so it's our next big public display of power pump girls.
Trying something.
Of trying something. And the truth is whether we get $0 or $15,000 or whatever, it is our hope that it would have inspired at least one person to say, that doesn't look so bad. I can do that.
Success.
That is success. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. So starting to kind of wind down on the show.
3 hours?
It's two hours and 55 minutes. We got to wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
The time for the house ends at then.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
What do y'all love about Baton Rouge?
Ooh, I love that question.
You want to go first?
Yeah.
I always do that to her.
Because you're thinking of your answer.
Once again, this break is brought to you by...
Right Entry.
I will say, I do love Baton Rouge because it's been my adult home. So I've been here since I went to LSU, and I've grown up a lot since being in Baton Rouge. It's the home of my first two businesses. I've met lifelong friends and colleagues here. But Baton Rouge is very unique in... I always had an idea growing up that all of Louisiana was like my hometown. And so when I came here, I was like, oh, Baton Rouge has its own thing. New Orleans is a thing. Okay, every city has their own thing. But I think Baton Rouge kind of takes a bit of everything because we're the capital. And we have these amazing universities here. It's kind of an influx of all the cultures and all the traditions. So I love that about it, that it's so diverse but still unique in its own way, and that it's my adult home. It's been my home for 9 years.
Yeah, so I like it for a whole lot of reasons, which for a long time I struggled to find reasons why I loved Baton Rouge, which is why I wanted to go to New Orleans for our conference. But one of the main reasons that I love it is because it's just kind of like what Raina said, like this was the first place I was able to test the waters on my own. It definitely shaped me into being... it refined me more of who I was as like a kid. But also, like, I love that Baton Rouge is 45 minutes from New Orleans, 45 minutes from Lafayette, and then 3 hours from home, right? So it's like I'm away from my family, but I'm only a drive away.
You don't have to sleep to get
back
to your parents.
Yeah. And I also love the community of Baton Rouge. Like there are silos and pockets, but there's also like a thriving small business community here. And I really love that because that tells me that like I'm surrounded by other fearless dreamers. And to me, it just kind of makes me feel like, okay, well, this is my home, right? Because like I'm that person. And so when I look around, there are other people that are just like me. So
yeah,
I think that's why I like Baton Rouge.
People go through the same struggle as we all do.
Yep.
We're all human.
Yes.
We all make mistakes.
Yes. Yeah.
We're all gonna continue
every
to
day.
Make mistakes.
Every day.
We're going to wake up tomorrow and think that we just want to stay in bed.
Yeah.
But we got to get out.
Raining.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially this past week.
The weather's been crazy.
It has been terrible.
Gosh.
But, you know, it's those that get up the next day and those that put the left foot in front of the right or right foot in front of the left that just keep moving forward. Those are the ones that are going to make an impact in the community.
Yep.
And so I love seeing what y'all are doing in the community. I love to see kind of the path and the trajectory y'all are on. And then one more final question.
Okay.
Is what can I do to help you?
Oh, look at Patty G, y'all. Look at him.
Do we have to answer on camera?
Give me an on-camera answer.
Okay. On-camera answer is that this on-camera moment is helpful. You know, having these conversations and sharing our story with people helps amplify the work that we're doing, helps people know that they can get involved and be a part of it. So you've already helped.
Yeah.
But another on-camera answer.
I think that was beautiful.
Okay, great.
Perfect. We'll end on that. Scene.
Yes. So I don't know if it's necessarily like what you can do for us, but just like amplifying what Raina says, like what you can be doing for the community is sharing everyone's stories. Yeah, it's super imperative. I know every time because I didn't know you and there was a LinkedIn message was like, hey, we should do the Patty G Show. I was like, hey, we should do the Patty G Show.
And here we are doing the Patty G Show.
I love that.
We do that a lot.
can we pull that for a promo on the podcast?
So funny. But no, so yeah, it's really important because your network may not know me and my network may not know you. And so it goes back to that connectivity piece. Just continue to connect people.
That's the goal. I'm trying to bridge all the silos.
There you go.
I'm trying to bridge
them. Let's do those walls.
Do what I can.
Yeah. Thank you for having us, though.
Thank y'all so very much for coming on. I really appreciate y'all's time. I know we're 4 hours into this now.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's been a marathon.
But for those that are watching, this now you look in the camera.
Okay.
How can they?
This one. Wait, which one?
Which one? Which one are we looking to?
It's pointing
at this one. Right here.
Oh, the little guy.
That I didn't see.
The little guy.
Wow,
okay.
There's so many cameras here. Literally so many.
All right.
So how can people, A, get in touch with you if they've got something they want to run by you or they want to get involved? And B, what can they do to get involved as a community? How can they do that? What's the process? Where do they go? We're also going to link it all up, so you don't need to hash out URLs or email addresses. Okay. Cool.
And we also switch cameras. We're here now.
All right.
Oh, that one.
She was going there.
Hey, follow instructions. If you have an idea, we actually are always asking for ideas and initiatives and things we can get behind as Power Pump Girls, so you can email us.
Below.
Click the link.
Swipe up.
Oh, my God.
You can email us or find us on social media. We're really active on social or LinkedIn, like Patty G.
Shoot your shot, Patty.
Shoot your shot.
Miss 100 of them that you don't take.
That's what they said. And then ways they can get involved.
Ways that you can get involved. Keep in contact with our social media. That's where we announce the initiatives that we're getting behind. That's where we announce where you can make donations, where you can go and volunteer. There are a whole lot of things coming up. And so truthfully, the best way is our newsletter and our social media. Our work is very action driven. And so as things happen, that's when we, send people to where we are.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's been perfect. So fun.
I've had a blast.
It's been so fun.
This has been fun.
We love when people pull those things out of us. It was good.
I try to pull as much as I can without still adhering to a boundary.
Yeah.
You did good.
And we talk a lot.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So for those listening and for those watching, thank you all very much for doing that. I really appreciate it. I know that the guests that come on the show really appreciate it. So for tuning in, thank you so very much. I am your host, Patty G, here with Shireen and Raina from Power Pump Girls. Check them out. Hit up all their socials and have the Patty G socials. Thank y'all and have a great one.
Bye.